Praise the Lord. You know, it's an amazing journey for us. The month of February, we concentrated on the subject of what? Faith. Faith February. Thank you guys who preached in my behalf when we were away, Pastor Anoli and also Susan Williams, who's just about to finish up the book of Ephesians on Wednesday nights. And I listened to these guys from, hey, where was I at when I was in Mexico one time? And next thing, I don't know where I was at when I listened to Susan, but you know, just to be able to go to the app and go to Carpenter Shop and be on the other side of the world is an amazing thing. Listen to them articulate the messages from the scriptures that were powerful, and I appreciate you guys covering that. And it's an opportunity for us to let other voices that are part of the family here speak and speak into our lives and break the word of God. I appreciate what you guys did. We talked about faith in February. And now we're going to transition and to what the Spirit says to the church. Come on, somebody. What the Spirit says to the church in the month of March. And in this season, I want to bring you a series of messages that I've simply entitled, Breaking the Chains That Bind. Come on, Breaking the Chains That Bind. You know, I almost get a spirit. Preached on spiritual warfare. The devil furnishes all the illustrations. Come on. The last time you preached on spiritual warfare, you know what? I ain't scared of no devil. I'm not. I know I'm not a match for him, but I know when Jesus hollered out on the cross, it is finished. I know that, you know what? The devil don't have nothing for this house. He really don't. When God's people pray. And so I move forward. I said, you know what? I'm not worried about that. Breaking chains that bind. Because listen, God is want to speak to the church because listen, the church is the one that is struggling today. Amen. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. The church is the agency that is struggling. And you know what? We should not be struggling. Amen. We really shouldn't. There should not be people in the pews who come in here and lift their hands and sing and pray in the Spirit. We should not be the ones that are struggling. We should be walking through victory after victory after victory. So our messages will be centered on some of the spirits. Somebody say spirits. Spirits. That have been identified as binding in the life of believers. You say, wait a minute, believers? Oh, no, don't you mean, you don't mean to tell me that you believe that the enemy can, you know, can influence believers and or possess believers? You don't believe that, do you? Listen, Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me. Didn't call him Peter that time. He said, what? Get behind me, Satan. And Ananias and Sapphira thought they were doing a big deal when they reached into their pockets and tried to copy somebody who gave a great gift to the church. And the question was to Ananias and Sapphira, how has Satan so lied to you and entered into your heart that you would do such a thing? And you know what God did to this couple who tried to mimic big giving in the church? He killed them both. Got the youth group to have a funeral for them. You don't play with God. You don't play with God. And so here we are talking about those spirits that I said, yes, believers, those Christ followers, those people who follow Jesus and should have perhaps a more discerning ear. I hope if you got the church app, you're following this. The notes are there for you. Thank you, Pastor Anoli. You can follow it right on your church app. Fill in the blank. Save it for the future. A more discerning ear. The church, the Christian, should have a more discerning ear, an ear that hears what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. We should have more of a discerning eye to do what? To see as we look out on the horizon that things are getting very serious for the church. Amen. You know, I pity the church that's just a social club. I pity the church that's just doing business on Sunday, just paying their dues, you know, doing it out of habit. You go there, there's a form of godliness, but no power. Amen. I pity those churches. I feel sorry for those churches that never see anybody delivered from a demonic spirit or never see anybody see the chains of bondage broken in their life and there's no healings and there's no deliverance and there's no salvation. They're just fighting over what color we're going to paint the walls. We don't do that in this church. We don't believe that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he made a committee. We don't commit nothing. Who chose the paint? I did. Okay? I didn't really choose it. I said to the lady who's good at that, what do you think? She said, gray is a great color. I said, gray it is. Well, you need to check with the committee, not in our church. If I set up a committee to decide what color walls we were going to paint, what kind of floor we'd put down, that's an open door for the devil to get in this church. So look at your neighbor and say, ain't happening. Ain't happening. Well, I don't like that kind of floor. That's all right. Close your eyes till you get in the sanctuary. All right? Maybe you like burgundy carpet. Praise the Lord. I'll be glad when we wear that out so we can get something new in here. Come on now. But unless you're willing to get on your knees and get down to dirty business in the house of God, this is going to be here for a while. Amen. All right? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Does anybody like what you're hearing this morning? Come on, I hear the sound of the Spirit of God. Amen. So you and I should have a more discerning ear, and we should have a more discerning eye to be able to see and identify the tactics of our adversary, the one whom Peter spoke about when he said what? He moves around like a what? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I like what the old timers said. They said, you know, I'm glad that Jesus on the cross of Calvary pulled his teeth and all he can do is gum you to death. Amen. He ain't got nothing but a roar. Rawr! Man, you ain't nothing but a pussycat. You ain't got nothing for Jesus. I'm so glad that Jesus pulled his teeth 2,000 years ago and he can't do nothing but make a noise. I've come to the realization that this series, Breaking Chains That Bind, is timely. Why would you say that, Pastor? Because of the attacks on my own life. Because of the attacks on my own life, the challenges that I see in this season, seeing such an intense attack, if you will, on all that I put my hands to. The enemy has raised his head and tried to intimidate me. The enemy has raised his head and tried to speak negativity into my mind and my heart and my spirit, because I've noticed that the churches which I oversee, presently 39 churches under my care, I see conflict inside those churches. I see battles, I see wars, I see people that are rising up in opposition, and there is no unity in the house, and there's backbiting, and there's struggles, and there's one. I even got a text message this morning. I showed up there, nobody's here. We got a church open this morning, nobody shows up. Nobody. Got a text message on my phone right here this morning. Nobody's here. I see the attack of the enemy on the churches that God has placed under my care. I see a rise in the intensity of some of my own critics. People who criticize me. Hate mail. Ugly letters. Things like that are sent to me. I got a file drawer full of them after all these years. I got a file in my office under lock and key called hate mail. Got some ugly letters. Been cussed at, spit at, all kinds of mess. See a few social media accusations that this past week that no doubt I am a false prophet because they saw me shake hands with somebody who they believe is a false prophet. Now all of a sudden I had people send me Facebook messages. I blocked you. Why? Because you shook hands with him. Well, God bless you. God bless you. What an idiot. What a dummy. You know, when I was in church last Sunday morning, two Sundays in a row, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. I saw people get prayed for and healed. I saw the power of God executed out from that ministry onto people's lives. I saw people falling down. I saw people getting up. I saw people running. I saw people smiling. I saw people shouting. Somebody said, let me ask you something. Was it really Pentecostal? I said, all I can tell you is when I got into that church, and this is God is my witness. I said, all I can tell you, all I could do was stand there and weep. I stood there. Mary, you've been there. You've seen it. I stood there, and all I could do was just cry. Amen. Pastor Randy, I stood in my place, and I cried. And when I wasn't crying, I was laughing with such joy. I looked at my wife. She looked at me. And, man, the Spirit of God was so in that house. Not because of the building in Texas, but because of the people, just like you. We saw the presence of God. I had somebody this week to my face tell me that they called me a name. I would dare not repeat it. They called me a name and said, if you're willing to go down there and shake some guy's hand like that, then you got less sense than I thought you had. I said, man, now that's maturity right there. Can I tell you something? This is for me or Pastor Noli or Pastor Joy or Pastor Randy or Pastor Bernie or whoever you're talking about. Before you better open your mouth and speak negativity on one of God's chosen people, you better watch your mouth. You know what? You better watch your mouth. Who am I to look at a man or a woman of God and say that they're this or that and the other? Who am I to speak about negative things about a man who's called by God? Who am I to attack God's chosen? Who am I? You better be careful what you say. I remember a number of years ago, a Baptist preacher who used to help me so much in the ministry. He was a precious man of God. He's still alive today, pastored the same church for 30-some years, and I figured when I ran into challenges, I ought to call somebody who knew what they were doing. So I called this Baptist preacher from time to time, and I would ask him questions. I remember coming back from Greenville one day. Y'all not in a hurry today, are you? Got a new watch, by the way. My wife gave it to me for my birthday. Praise the Lord. Invicta, $375 watch. Ain't none of your business that she got it for 90% off. That ain't none of your business. Amen. Amen. Smart woman, try to find a deal like that. Come on. So you got a little time. I may say a few things that I probably didn't plan on. We call that anointing. So we were thinking about all of those things that happened and over the years, and I remember speaking to this Baptist preacher one day. I was driving from Greenville, and I needed some help. I was a struggling pastor and had a problem here in the church that was bigger than me. So I called up Pastor So-and-so, not going to call his name. I called him up. I said, brother, I said, I got a question for you. I said, I got an issue going on here in the church I need some help with. It's over my head. And I began to unfold the narrative to him. I began to tell him the story. And he said, stop. And I said, what? He said, stop. I got enough. I said, oh, okay. He said, let me tell you what you need to do. He said, what does the doctor do when they discover cancer? I said, well, he said, what's the first thing they try to do? I said, they try to surgically remove it. He said, bingo. I said, what? He said, get rid of them. I said, you mean like the ministry that they're doing right now? He said, yeah, get them out of there before they spread their cancerous attitude all through your church. Okay. It's easy for you to say, but I'm the one got to do it. So guess what I did? I came home. I got rid of them. Now you're trying to figure out who it was, aren't you? No, it's not your business. Because listen, I have one thing on my track record here. I've gotten rid of a few people along the way. Somebody reminded me of that this past week. Well, you fired so-and-so. Guess what? I fired them because they needed to be fired. Okay? And listen, to whom much is given, much is required. I remind you of this. When I stand before God, my judgment will be greater than yours. Okay, I'll give more of an account for the things of God in my life than you will. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is then required. So I'm okay with that. I know I got to stand before God. So I've come to this realization where people have attacked me. People have said ugly things. Some people sent me some emails, some snail mail. I can't help it if they're far behind and don't know how to use the computer. And I've noticed an overall rise in what I discern as an increase of demonic manifestation in the ministry. And let me say that again. I only got two amens. I said I've noticed an increase in the rise of demonic manifestations upon ministry. Time where the enemy wants to speak up and have a say-so. And so I reckon that, you know what, breaking chains that bind is just a season where God wants to speak to us. Somebody say, speak to me, Lord. Wants to speak to us about these things. You say, why do you think these things are happening? Why do you think some negative things? Why do you think criticisms? Why hate mail? Why all these things? I know why, because we're seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ in this church. I know why we're seeing people come to a place where God touches them and heals them and delivers them. I know why, because the devil has always opposed the work of God, and guess what? He will always oppose the work of God. He always will. I was so blessed to see this young lady just a week before I left. The service was over. There was Mary, I think it was, came to me and said, Pastor, God healed this lady this morning. I said, man, let her tell her story. We got her up here on the platform. Half the church was gone already. But we said, hey, tell your story. She said, well, I got to the altar, and she said, you know, I couldn't see in my left eye. And she said, I stood at the altar, and they started to pray for me. And listen to this. The more they prayed, the clearer my vision became, so that all of a sudden I began to see where I could not see before. Look at your neighbor and say, heal them, Jesus. So you see, the enemy doesn't like when people get healed. The enemy doesn't like when people come out of darkness into the light of the gospel. The enemy does not like it when blessings begin to flow and God's people have something better than a religious experience. We don't need religion. We need relationship with Jesus. Well, I'm a member of the church. So what? So what? Your membership on the church don't afford you a whole lot. But the enemy hates it when people get blessed. The enemy hates it when the church starts to move forward. I was so blessed, man, sitting in Celebrate Recovery this past Wednesday night. I don't always get in there, but I was sitting there Wednesday night just to listen to that class. And to hear the stories of what God has done through these people who come in there and open up their hearts and they speak the truth and they lay out the reality of what they're struggling with, be it alcohol, cocaine, crack, or whatever it is. They tell the story, Pastor, this is what I'm struggling with. And what happens is tears begin to flow. And all over the room Wednesday night, we have people who are weeping and crying and say, I just want to thank you for this church. And I say, you know what? I mean, I testified. My wife can tell you, I testified to people about how God is meeting us in Celebrate Recovery, because I think it's so funny. I think it's so neat that when God chooses to blow in the wind of His Spirit, He don't choose perfect people with a suit and a tie and shiny shoes and a nice dress with spray paint on their face and nice little perfume. Psst, psst. He chooses people whose lives are messed up, whose lives are a wreck, whom He called out of darkness into the marvelous light. He said, upon this rock, Peter, the one who will take your sword out and cut your ear off. That's the kind of people that Jesus wants to use to build a church. Well, I don't know if he should be on the worship team. He's got tattoos. You got stuff stamped on your heart. We just can't see it. I don't know if he ought to be up there. Got a big old earring hanging from his ear. You got two on your ears. When the church starts trying to love people rather than judge them, you can expect it to grow. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with a suit coat. I wore one today just for you. One guy told me this week on Facebook, he said, I like you. You're one of the, you're my favorite religious person I know. I sent him a message back. So I'm reaching out to him, see. I'm reaching out to him because he's not serving the Lord. I'm reaching out to him because Jesus set an example for me. He sits down and eats with sinners. So I'm reaching out to him and I start ministering to him, you know, talking back and forth on Facebook. And he said, you're my favorite religious person. I said, I hate to disappoint you. I'm not religious.
He said, what?
I said, I'm not religious. I said, I love Jesus, but I'm not religion. In fact, to me, religion sucks. Sucks, I know, is probably a word that some of y'all say, well, I can't believe he said that. I said it. Religion sucks, okay? Sucks like a lemon. It's bad. Religion will turn people off. Religion stinks. Religion made God sick. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Religion, religious people pointed their finger. Religious people, see? Pharisees, all these kind of religious people. We don't need religion. We need relationship. And so in the Celebration Recovery class, you know, last Wednesday night, the scripture surfaced that such a beautiful thing. Here's the thing. John 8:32 says what? The truth will set you free. If you tell the truth about yourself, you will feel better about yourself.
Amen.
Amen. If you just tell the truth about yourself, if you tell the truth about yourself, you will come to the truth about yourself, and you will come to the truth that Jesus Christ is the only one that can change your life. And people do need love. They do need to be loved unconditionally. Unconditionally, they need to be loved. So I thank God for Celebrate Recovery. So that's why we face attacks. That's why I face my own attacks, because the enemy wants to stop the move of God. And Jesus, listen, Jesus exposed him. What did he say? He said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes only. Somebody say only. The thief comes only to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's why Jesus came. To give you abundant life, to give you a full life. And the Apostle Paul, likewise, he unfolded the enemy's strategies too. The Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. He said, finally, somebody say finally.
Finally,
be strong. I underscored the words here that were meaningful to me as I was reading through this week. Be strong. What does that mean? It means to be endued with the strength of God. To be wrapped up, encapsulated, led by, walked along with. It means to be endued with this strength that comes from what? From the Lord, and not your power. His power. What does that word power mean? Well, if you look up the word power here, you will see that it's a word that is translated dominion, realm, kingdom, domain, and authority. So you be strong, not in your own authority. You be strong, not in your own dominion. You be strong, not in your own power. You be strong in what? In His power. Because here's the thing, beloved. Whatever you're struggling with, fill in the blank right now in your mind. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's sexual behaviors, if it's lies, cheating, or deceiving, whatever you're struggling with, can I just tell you something? It's already been paid for on the cross. The fact that you can be not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror, has already been purchased for you. I like what the brother said, the warranty's already taken care of. Okay? It's already been taken care of. So what you have to discover is not that you walk in your own strength, but you finally come to the reality that you need to be strong in His strength, not yours, because you ain't got no strength for it. It says you put on the full armor, verse 11, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I remember so well when I was struggling with, I told the people in Celebrate Recovery, you know, I don't know what it's like. I've been standing at the circle. We used to make Everclear in a bathtub. Made it in a bathtub. I like the fruit at the end. We used to make it in trash cans. Tiptoe Road, last party I remember going to. I have to turn down that road every day, so it's such a reminder. Tiptoe Road. I was at a party right there in the curve, and they brought out the bowls and the smoking pot, and I just, you know, I had my Everclear in my hand and listened to the loud music, and when the pot started being passed, I just leaned back because I was scared. Scared of weed, man. I said, I ain't smoking no weed. Ain't it funny? I'll drink like a fish, the stuff we made in the bathtub. So tough that you could take Everclear. We used to pour a little bit of Everclear in the cap and strike a match to it. I drink that, but I ain't smoking that. Come on, anybody ever sinned besides me? Come on. Look at that worship going on. All these hands just lifting. I lift my hands in the sanctuary. So I was thinking, you know what? Here I am doing this stuff, and I was walking so dangerously. And he said, well, you know, that just might not be a weakness for you, so, you know, you can just go ahead and have fun. Man, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. So he says, here, you need to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. If I can just get him to just... If I can just get him just to sniff, just to snort, just to sip, then I could just get him to where he loves this. And he not only loves it, he is dependent upon it. See? So he can't make it without it. What I love about the Celebration Recovery guys is they'll tell you the truth. So how you been? Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a rough week. Did you fail? I love it when they look at you and they cry and they say, yes, I did. But I love it better when they say, I'm so glad I'm here. I feel safe here. So what you're learning is the power of what? Spiritual warfare. Now you understand the devil's, help me here, schemes, tricks, traps. You understand what his strategy is, and so you've exposed him. Oh, that's a tough word for the church. You've exposed him for who he is, and he's having a heyday. He's having a fit because you exposed the devil that he is. So I used to, when I was drinking in those days, and I wanted out. I really did. I did not want, because I began to drink so much that I began to drink in the morning. It just started out with just being social. I remember I could take you to the spot, Nag's Head, milepost 11, where I was a young guy in the back seat. Young guy in the back seat. Hey, you want a drink? I'm 15, 16, 16 years old. I said, yeah. What you having? I just called the one I seen on TV on the football commercial. Because I didn't know. So I called the name. Oh, that's me too, man. I'm all into that. So I remember the first one. First one, second one, third one. Now there are more than one. I remember my best pool games were after I had like three in me. I'd be willing to shoot you for $50 a game if I had three beers in me. I took that young lady off right there the first couple of times I took her off. Didn't have any money in my pocket, Travis. None. Zero. And I picked her up, and I remember what I told Joy, sit right here. She said, where are you going? I said, I'll be right back. I'm broke. I got a date, and I'm broke. So I go into the pool hall. And when I walked in, I just looked around and said, hey, anybody shooting? Anybody shooting tonight? Yes, sir. What you got? I said, $50 a game. And I won two games and went off on my date. Didn't have a dollar in my pocket. What if I'd have lost? I didn't lose. I didn't lose. Not in those days. I can lose now. Okay? Why? Because I hadn't played in years. But in those days, I was good. I used to go over to Elizabeth City and play on the same table that Wimpy Lassiter played on. Google that name. Wimpy Lassiter. I was good, and I won't worry about if I lost because I didn't plan to lose. All I needed to do was win the break. And so I won the break, and I won two games and got $100 in my pocket, and now I can have a nice date. And another date, and another date. But you see, those days in my life were so controlled by another power, and he had schemes that he was trying to operate in my life. And I know some of you think, well, you know, that was you, but I got this thing under control. I got this thing under control. I said it before, it's kind of hard to get delivered from demons you enjoy playing with. You got it under control now, but how about when you don't? How about when you don't have it under control? I'm pausing intentionally. Because it's in these pauses where the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and your heart goes, doo-doo, 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 and you feel your blood pressure rise. That's called conviction. And conviction comes and you know who you are. Conviction comes and you know that you got to make a decision. I'm going to give you a chance to make it at the end of the service. You got to make a decision. Do I keep on living for me? Or in this evil day, do I put on the armor that God has equipped me with so that I can take my stand against the devil's schemes? Okay? So he's put on the full armor of God. And he says, oh, I love this part, verse number 12. Thank you, Pastor Randy. He inspired me when I was talking to him on the phone the other day. Verse number 12, for our struggle, somebody say, our struggle. It's really not against flesh and blood. It's not about people or natural things. It's really against what? Rulers, I underscored that, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, what Paul does here is anointed by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he gives us the hierarchy of satanic power that starts with who? The devil himself. And it proceeds down to principalities. Those are chief demons assigned over areas. Like northeastern North Carolina, where we have chief demons who are assigned over northeastern North Carolina. That's why I said in a strategy meeting just this past week, some of you saw my picture on Facebook. Well, the pastor's back in town and he ain't even at the church. You know what I'm doing? I'm down in New Bern, North Carolina, the headquarters for Wicca, by the way. I'm down in New Bern, North Carolina, strategizing with other pastors about how we can handle demonic things that are hovering over northeastern North Carolina. So you better pray for your pastor, because we lay in our hand on principalities, demons that hover over a region. And we're going to talk about some of those demons in the next few weeks. We're talking about one of them today. I ain't got to it yet. I'm only halfway through. So buckle your seatbelt. Won't worry about chicken. We'll get it later. So we have principalities. Those are demon spirits that are managers, if you will, over territories. They're assigned to hover over northeastern North Carolina. And they're assigned to make sure that northeastern North Carolina is tremendously entrenched in the abuse of opioids. Diane Prince could take over right here and talk to you for an hour. The worst drugs on the street, the worst drugs that we have today, as she said, are not the drugs on the street. They're the one hanging in the pretty packages at the store that you lie to get a hold of some of them. See? And so we have these principalities, these demonic spirits that rule over these areas in the dark world. And they make this area so oppressed and so depressed that young people say, well, we ain't got nothing to do. You have nothing to do. And so you ride around and you create ways to have fun. And the devil, in his scheme and his strategy, laces you and teases you with opportunities. See? And people get you to try something. Just try this. And guess what? By the way, the first one's always free. See, then you become a slave. You become a slave. You become in bondage to those powers. And then we have to understand that this atmosphere is saturated and with demonic power, and it influences individuals. Those spiritual forces that specialize in specific influences like lust and impurity, sexual impurity and lies and suicide even. We have these demons that are assigned to get people to do these kinds of things. And in the understanding of his schemes, we find the manifestation of certain spirits, certain influences that Satan uses to bind the lives of God's people. Spiritually speaking, those chains that bind us and hold us back from two things. From one, receiving all that God has planned for us. And then secondly, becoming all that God has destined us to become. receiving all God has for us, and becoming all that God designed for us to become. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Did you know that before your mom and daddy even thought about you, God Almighty had a plan for your life? He had a plan for you. Before you were even a thought, amen, God had a plan for you. And so I want to expose some of those spirits this month as we look at breaking the chains that bind, because it's just that the reality that the spirits will bind you, they'll hinder you, they'll hold you back and rob you of your spiritual inheritance. The first of these spirits that I want to expose today is the spirit of isolation. The spirit of isolation. When you're isolated, you know what isolated means. Isolation is that aloneness that separates you from other people. Isolation. We understand this from ways in which we use it in our society. Anybody ever heard of anybody say, well, he's in quarantine right now? What they do when they put you in quarantine is they put you by yourself so that you won't contaminate anybody else. They quarantine you. They protect everybody else from you. Someone's very ill, they'll be placed alone so that no one can come into contact with them. And we understand it through the use of what? Solitary confinement in the prison system. When a prisoner is placed in complete isolation so that he or she is removed from absolutely all contact with anyone. Isolation then is a spiritual attack on your life. You know, people who are isolated get to church late and leave early. Well, you know, I'm just not a people person. That's a lie from hell. You are a people person. Why do you say that? Because you were created after the image and the likeness of God, who loves people. He loves people. He's created us with the beautiful ideas of personality and spirit and mind and will and emotion. God is into people. Amen. Adam, where are you? After Adam had messed up, God wants to have fellowship with him. So he comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day. God is into fellowship. And guess what? So are you. Well, no, you just don't know me. You know, and then somebody will say, well, you know what, I'm kind of like that when it comes to people, but I got 300 friends on Facebook. I got 200 likes on my birthday. Hey, that's mighty easy. Did you get 200 cards? If you had a party, they wouldn't even come blow your candles out. I just said it a few days ago. Thank you for the hundreds. Somebody saw me say that. Thank you for the hundreds. I had like 498 happy birthday, Pastor. But if I'd had a party here at the church and invited all my Facebook friends, I'd have probably had 35 or 40 people show up and say, hey, happy birthday, Pastor, and five of them would have given me a gift. Because you really only have a few friends in your life. Facebook is a facade. It's a counterfeit for true friends. You say, well, you use it all the time. Yeah, because it's a strategy. I'm using it for free advertising. I'm not going to get on there and tell you what I had for dinner. And I don't really care what you had for dinner either.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. So it's a counterfeit for friendships. They're not really your friends. They just subscribe to the same social media you do. Because a friend loves you at all times. A friend will come see you when you got in jail because you messed up at the crack house. A true friend will come to see you when you're in your lowest experience. A true friend, you can count them on one hand, James Dobson said. You're probably married to one of them. See? That's a true friend. You don't have many friends. But you isolate yourself, but you really shouldn't isolate yourself, because God wants you to mix with people. It was God who said in Genesis that when man was created, there was not found a companion that was suitable for him. Look at the story, Genesis 2, 19 to 22. Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals and Adamus. Can I just use short? Hippo. So the man gave all the names, verse 20, to the livestock, the birds of the sky, the wild animals. Oh, here's a sad statement. But for Adam, there was no suitable helper found. Adam didn't look good next to an ostrich. That ain't gonna work. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. You see, God's into companionship, not isolation. He designed man to be fulfilled in that relationship with a woman. In fact, if you look up one verse from there to Genesis 2:18, it reads like this. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And so he made a woman. Loneliness is a bad thing. Isolation is dangerous. We need connection that God ordained for us. Some people complain, well, I don't think God ever has anybody for me. Some of y'all looking for mates. I don't think I'm ever going to find. Go ahead and keep prophesying over yourself. I don't think I'm ever going to find anybody to marry me. Go ahead and keep prophesying over yourself. I don't think. You got it. I'm not going to say it again. Don't be like one of my friends who was searching for a wife, and he said, you know, I used to show him girls, you know, that I knew that were Christians, and I'd say, hey, have you ever seen so-and-so? And this is what he would tell me. Pastor, he said, I'm into thinner women. I just kind of touched him on his stomach, and I said, what if she's into thinner men? Ain't it amazing what a trip on a ship will do for you? So, you see, you wouldn't be by yourself if you weren't so picky. Because you keep on looking at all the external, and you marry the one that you just think looks just right. And the real part of a person is that which is on, oh, come on here. That which is on the inside. Because you know what I've noticed about both men and women? Even though they get skinny, stay skinny, act skinny, are skinny, there comes a time in their life when they all plump up. Okay? And what they had up at the north that looked so good goes south. Come on. They get the furniture disease. Their chest hangs down to the drawer. Oh, come on, come on, come on. It's a furniture disease. God wants you to be connected. Stop being so foolish over the people that he puts in your path. You better find out if the girl loves Jesus. You better find out if the man loves Jesus. If he don't love Jesus, if she don't love Jesus, you better leave them alone. Because if they don't love Jesus, they don't know how to love you. God wants you to connect it, not isolate it. Listen to this story, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Man, work all the time. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. He couldn't work enough. He was a workaholic. For whom am I toiling? And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? I don't even go fishing. This too is meaningless. This is a miserable business. This ain't life. Verse number 9 says, well, two are better than one. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and is isolated, has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves in a cord of three strands. Come on, Holy Ghost, is not quickly broken. God does not want you isolated. The isolation shows up in our lack of friendships as well. Some people separate themselves from relationships that would be so valued, so appreciated, allowing you to encourage others and others to encourage you. I told you earlier, isolated people walk in late and leave early. That way they don't have to come in contact with folks. Their lack of self-esteem has so isolated them, cutting them off from relationships that God has already stamped his approval on. We're wired for relationships. Remember, we are his framework. We have mind, we have will, we have emotions. We desire love. We desire affirmation. We desire appreciation. We desire acceptance. And that's what the enemy does. He attacks us when we don't feel loved. He attacks us when we don't feel affirmed. We don't feel appreciated. And we don't feel accepted. So we withdraw. And we isolate by ourselves because I won't hurt myself. And we convince ourselves that we're just better off alone. I ain't got no mate to satisfy. I've heard people say before, so you think you'll get married again? No! No, I ain't marrying again. No mate to satisfy. No friends to satisfy. We're isolated. Isolation is dangerous. You know what strategy the wolf has? He doesn't look at the pack and say, man, I like that chunky sheep on the second row. No, he don't care about that. Listen, if you're getting ready to eat, lamb is lamb, okay? Bye. So he looks for that little sheep that has done what? Wandered away from the herd. Because if he gets ready to attack that sheep, no problem. He's got it. So that's why you have to stay connected. And sometimes people will isolate themselves from other races too. We got a whole host of churches in northeastern North Carolina. It goes like this: black church, white church. Amen. Y'all ain't gonna like this. Black school, white school. Y'all don't like that. I'm pausing intentionally. We isolate ourselves. We try to control how the outcome's going to be, who my kids are going to be around, how they're going to grow up. See? They miss out on culture. They miss out on laughter. They miss out on spicy foods. My wife told somebody on the trip, she said, oh, he'll eat anything. He's got an international stomach. That's true. That's true. What is that? I don't know. Give me two of them. Well, that's good. What was it? You don't want to know. Okay. Went to Jamaica and enjoyed the food. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. It was good. What was it? You don't want to know. So when you isolate yourself, you really rob yourself of mixing with other cultures and learning through other cultures. Isolation has hit the church too. The church has so isolated herself from being the agency that God can use. I love this part. I wrote the notes, but I love this part. The church has isolated herself from being the agency that God wants to use to bring heaven to earth. As it is in heaven. I was listening to Elevation Worship this week. As it is in heaven. Wow. On earth as it isn't. Jesus told us to pray that, didn't he, Mother Jenny? As it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, he wants earth to be a little taste of what heaven is like. That's why you're such a beautiful church. Because you already got it right in a lot of ways. On earth as it is in heaven. Isolation is a spirit that robs, it steals, it kills, it destroys. But Jesus comes to give life. Isolated people get in trouble. Zacchaeus was isolated. He was isolated. He was a man in the Bible that was hated. Why? Because of his job. He's a tax collector. He was a tax collector. He wasn't collecting for the Jewish people. He was collecting for Rome, and he was despised by the people. You see, his little precinct was Jericho. I've been to Jericho just a few weeks ago. Jericho, the city of palms, where the dates grow, the land of what? Milk and honey. Honey is a reference to the dates that grow in the palm trees. and they're tasty. And Jericho was an oasis in the middle of the desert. Do your studies. An oasis in the middle of the desert. And so Zacchaeus camps out in Jericho and makes sure he gets the high dollar tax money off all the people that are selling their dates. And people didn't like him because he was collecting money for Rome. He wasn't about the Jewish people. Think about this now. People hated Zacchaeus. Jesus comes to Jericho, that dusty little town, just a little ways outside of Jerusalem. And who does he choose to go to their house? He goes and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, you short little hated tax collector. I'm going to your house." And he goes and hangs out with Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus was isolated. He goes and hangs out with Zacchaeus. Jesus knows how to pick his people. That's why when he timed his journey just right, he goes to a town called Sychar. John chapter 4 is where I'm at. John chapter 4, the apostle tells us how Jesus handled a spirit of isolation. The Samaritan woman was isolated. Jesus leaves Judea, heads to Galilee, passes through Samaria and into a little village of Sychar. It's noon and people have already been to the well because the woman goes and gets the water in the morning. But this woman finds herself positioned at the well at noon when the sun's already way up. It's too hot to be hauling water on your head. But she's at the well. And I have a heart for this woman because there was a reason she was at the well in the middle of the day. Because she was a Samaritan woman. She was mixed race, like my grandchild. She was mixed race, like some of you that are sitting here. She was mixed. And not only was she mixed, she'd had some challenges in her life because she couldn't stay married. She had 5 husbands. And she was sleeping in bed with the one that she was sleeping with then. She wasn't married to him. She was easy. And so she was embarrassed. So the only time she can get water is when nobody else is at the well. Why? Because the devil told her, in order for you to get a drink of water, you got to be isolated. You got to be isolated. So Jesus comes through Jericho by the will of God the Father, and he sits down because he's thirsty. And there's a woman there who's gripped with a spirit of isolation. She's embarrassed and she's withdrawn and she's come to draw water. And Jesus is tired from the walk and he's seated by the well. And he asked this mixed race woman, this Samaritan, "Could you get me a drink?" She knows he's a Jew. You see, in those days, Jews would never mix with Samaritans. And Jesus asked her for a drink and she was shocked. He said to her, "Woman, if you knew the gift of God, and you knew who it was that was asking you, you would get your bucket and start dipping." Woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well's deep, so how are you going to get this water you're talking about that's living water?" Jesus said, "I could give you living water." She said, "How are you going to get it? You ain't got no bucket." Jesus said, "One thing I can tell you, everybody who drinks this water, never thirst again. Never thirst again, not ever." The woman said, "Could you give me..." I love what's happening to her now. She's starting to break down. She says, could you give me this water? And then Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter. He said, "I'll tell you what you do. Go home and get your husband. Maybe he wants to drink too." And she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You had 5. And the one you went to bed with last night is not your husband." You see, he did that in love because he pierced right through her isolation. He pierced right through it. She was rejected because of her ethnicity, and here's a Jewish man talking to her. Isolated because the enemy had influenced her. Isolated because the enemy had just said to her, "You're better off alone. Go get the water in the middle of the day." But Jesus, the one who gives abundant life, yeah, pastor's reading this message because I just want to make sure I get this right. The one who gives abundant life cancels the assignments of the enemy on this lady's life and gives her living water. Why? Because he's a chain breaker. Okay? He's a chain breaker. And in an instant, this Samaritan woman was transformed into an evangelist. Okay? Think about it. Jesus chooses a woman whose life is wrecked. It's messed up. Five husbands sleeping with one right now. We call it shacking up, like some of y'all in the church are doing. Yeah. Some of y'all ain't married. You're having sex with somebody else you ain't married to. And Jesus chooses her. Says, I think she'd make a good person to go around and tell people about me. And she does. She goes around and she says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. He knows me, as one translation says, inside and out. Come see him. And she was transformed by the power of Christ and became an evangelist just like that. Amen. Can I just tell you this morning at Carpenter Shop International Church, as my worship team comes to this platform, that Jesus wants to give you life, abundant life, a fulfilled life. Can I remind you that just like this Samaritan woman, Jesus knows you inside and out. He knows you. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. There's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Listen. I'm not here this morning to condemn you. I love my Celebration Recovery people because they said, my name is John Doe and I struggle with cocaine. I asked one person just this past week, I said, so tell me your name. And they told me their name. I said, where do you go to church? She said, I go to this church. I said, really? Yeah, I was here last 2 weeks and you weren't here. Oh. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you say you struggle. Because you know what? That's the kind of person God's got to use. That's the kind of person God chooses to pour in his spirit upon. And tell other people, look what this man did for me. Shh. But you see, we got to get rid of this spirit of isolation. We got to cast it out. We got to take authority over that spirit and cast it down, cast it out. So that we don't have to worry about that anymore and you can be free. You can be free. You can be totally free. You can now long for relationships. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be struggling with self-esteem. You can hold your head up and know that God has set you free and that he desires for you to have healthy, viable, valid, authentic relationships with people who really do love you despite your weight, despite your face, your pimples, despite your hair, despite your size. They love you anyway. So the spirit of isolation, we call you out today. Christians praying, please. Spirit-filled Christians praying. We call out this spirit of isolation. And I'm going to ask you that are sitting here this morning and those of you who are watching by television, those of you who are watching on the internet, I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself. I'm going to count to three in just a minute. It's going to be simple, one, two, three. But when I count, I want you, if you're sitting down, when I count to three, when I get to three, I want you to stand up just like that. If you are struggling, and you know it to be true, you are struggling with the spirit of isolation. You really don't want to mix with people because you struggle with self-image. See, I struggle with self-image. That's what started me on the road to drinking, because I really liked the person who had a couple of beers better than the person who didn't. My personality, I'm gifted with personality. Don't you think I got a good personality? Say yes. I got a good personality. But man, I had an amazing personality with a couple of beers in me. And so that's why I drank, because I was so liked. My nickname was Buzz because I always had one. See? Then I come to the reality that I really didn't need that. And God set me free. Amen. Completely free. Amen. Now, be honest, please. Be honest. Every head bowed, every eye closed, but I'm going to count to three. And when I get to the number three, I want you to shoot up to your feet. If you struggle with the spirit of isolation and you find yourself not really trusting people, not really wanting to get closely connected because you have concerns, I don't care if you're running my equipment, playing my instrument, or you're on my staff. Here we go. One, two, three. Stand up. And take that step and come to this altar. I need preachers this morning. Pastor Bernie, Pastor Randy, Pastor Anoli. I need preachers this morning to come. Please come. Come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. I need your help. Prayer team members, please come. In a moment, they're going to step out of their seat and they're going to come to you. And I want you to take authority. I want you to take authority. Stand and face these people. Line up here. Face these people. We need your help. We need your help. Face these people. Stretch out across this altar area. Because we're going to take authority over this demonic spirit and we're going to cast it down this morning. In the name of Jesus, we're going to cast it out. And no longer, somebody say no longer, no longer is this spirit going to envelop you. Is this spirit going to influence you? You will become a people person. Your personality is going to now, it's not going to change. It's always been there. It's just now going to come out of you from your inside. And you're going to be fashioned into a person that God intended you to be. Come on, stand in front of one of these ministers this morning, please. Come on down here, those of you that are standing. Don't stand in line. Come to somebody right now. Come on, don't stand in line. Come to somebody right now. The spirit of isolation. I need Christians praying. I need spirit-filled people praying. Come on. Come on, pray in the spirit. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, come on, get with somebody. If you're in the prayer line, get with somebody. Make sure you're with somebody. Make sure you're with somebody. Make sure you're with somebody. Come on, Miss Audrey. I need you as a prayer warrior. Come on, dear. Come on. Come on, Mary and Morris. I can use you. Come on, I want to make sure everybody has somebody. Everybody has somebody. Come on, listen to the words of this song.
In the fire.
There you go.
I will not be overcome.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on, Tammy Peoples, help me pray. Come on, someone right here. Come to this lady. Come on, please. Please. Come right here. Listen to these words. Come on, Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Come on right here. Pray with this lady. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We bind the spirit of isolation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It has to go. In Jesus' name.
I am
pressing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, you fight my every battle.
You fight my every battle, Lord.
I will not fear.
I will not fear.
I am not alone.
Hallelujah.
I am not alone.
Hallelujah.
You will go before me.
Thank you, Lord.
You will.
I'm not alone.
I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me.
Hallelujah.
You raise me, redeem me. You call
Hallelujah.
Me as you roll. You amaze me, redeem me. You You call me as you roll. You embrace me, redeem me. You call me as you roll. You embrace me, redeem me. You call me as you roll.
Hallelujah. Lord, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, begin to worship. Just begin to worship. Worship Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Sister Ellen, come here, Ellen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, pray, church. Pray, 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 pray. Praise the Lord. Come on. I've discovered there's a powerful, 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 powerful truth that the confession of your mouth is strong. Revelation says, the last book in the Bible, Revelation, listen to me, church, says they were overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If you win over addiction, if you win over isolation, if you win over temptation on alcohol, drugs, sexual things, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is, if you win over it, it's by the blood of Jesus. Okay? No other way. A good church won't do it. Okay? Got to be the blood of Jesus. He says they were overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Testimony. I want somebody to come here this morning that you know, that you know, that you know God touched you and done something powerful for you. I want you to come and pronounce it in this microphone. Come on. Somebody, anybody. God did something for you today and you want to share it with this congregation. Just a brief testimony. Come on. Tell them what God did. Reader's Digest version. All right. Tell us what the Lord did.
The good Lord freed me from being isolated for so many years.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Freed her from being isolated. There was a woman from Sychar who was isolated for so many years, and one day Jesus met her at the well. There's a Samaritan woman right there. Another one. Praise the Lord. Come on, sister. God, to set people free. Come on, dear.
I praise God for setting me free for all these years of being in bondages, of isolating myself because of my past. I grew up in a home where I was always told I would never be nothing and that I was stupid. And I come from a mixed family where I'm mixed with Spanish. And coming up as a kid in the schools, I was picked on all the time. And I always was kind of on the heavy side. And I went through a lot. I went through a whole lot. And I got on drugs and everything. And God delivered me from drugs, just like he delivered me today from isolation. And I praise his holy name. And I just want y'all to continue to pray for me because I feel free. I feel free. All of my shots. I feel free. Thank you, God. I feel free. I haven't felt like this in a long time. And I just want y'all to continue to pray for me because the enemy tries to keep me in bondage, to keep me down. He tries to afflict me. Got a brace on my ankle because God want to use me. And I'm believing God to heal me totally from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet so I can run on for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Testimony time. Testimony time. Here's a young lady right here. First time in the house here? No, sir. Come on, tell us your story.
I've been going through a lot of depression. I've tried to commit suicide a couple times. Got into drugs really bad. I don't have my mom in my life anymore. My granddad passed away. It's been a lot. And I'm trying to make it through every day and deal with everything going on. It's really hard, but when you were preaching to me today, I listened to your words and I was listening to what you were saying, and God spoke to me. He said, I can be released and I can be okay and it will be okay and I will make it and I won't be to myself no more because I got God. And I thank you for preaching for that and making me hear and realize it.
Praise the Lord. Stand. Look at those people right there. Come on, tell them you're free.
I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm finally free. I'm free.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Man, y'all ain't shouting your woods wet. Come on.
I'm going to tell you, I probably lived one of the darkest lives a man could ever live. I suffered from drugs from a very young age. Sexual immorality from a very, very young age, like pre-adolescence. I found myself walking on a road that was probably as wicked as anybody could ever live, and I lived through it. I lived through it. Why did I live through it? Because God had a plan for me. He had a purpose for me because he touched me as a child, but then I strayed from him. I strayed from him, and I went with all the schemes of the devil. Everyone you can imagine. Lying, lust, greed, drugs. But only through Jesus Christ did I find my freedom. Only through Jesus Christ did I find what I needed to fill the void that I tried to fill with every other thing on earth. Everything. Nothing ever worked. Ever. Why? Because I didn't have the Lord. I found myself in jail. In jail, I realized exactly how powerless I was. Because out in the world, I took control of my life. You know, I tried to drive and wrecked every time. When I realized that powerlessness, and I didn't have nothing else, he took it all from me, everything. The only thing he left was contact with my mother. Took my children out of my life, everything. Why did he do that? People said, I'm sorry you went to jail. Don't be sorry. Rejoice, because it's there that he set me down and said, slow down, son, and bring your focus on me. Bring your focus on me. Put your eyes on me and let me touch you. All right. So first thing I pray for, Lord, please take this anxiety from me, this depression from me, this PTSD from me, PTSD, things that never was taken away by doctors, therapists. And I'm not putting no medical field down. Nothing ever worked, not just for the drugs, but for the emotional problems I was having, which was the cause of the drugs. He lifted that instantly. Boom, gone. In jail, happy. Now, how does that happen? That's God for you, right? He lifted that. So then I pray, please give me a way out of here so that I can get out and walk in your way. Now, I was facing 10 years in prison, y'all. I got out on probation. On probation. Now, I'm not saying that I can't get right back out there and end up right back in there facing 10 years, because I can. But how do I not? I keep my focus on him. I keep my eye on him. I have to surrender every day. Every day I surrender to his will, because when I take my will back, guess where I'm going to end up? Right back where I was. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me a new way to live. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a way out. Because it's only through Jesus that I'm free today. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody say Friday night. Friday night. Praise the Lord. Sheep out of us. For the next several weeks, we'll be dealing with various strategies, various spirits that I know are strong in this region in which we live. The spirit of isolation, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of poverty, okay? Spirit of poverty. I know at least three that we will deal with in the next few weeks that are holding this region back. But what better place for God to unleash a tremendous revival in his land than this area? Amen. Come on, let's believe God for it. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to exalt you today. We thank you, God, for doing what you've done. We thank you, God, for touching your people. We thank you for setting them free. We thank you for what you're going to do, God, as we submit ourselves to you, your will, your work, your way. We ask you to have your way mighty and strong in the behalf of your people today. In Jesus' name, thank you for setting them free, Lord. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. I pray for that one. Listen, you're standing here this morning. You're thinking, you know, there's issues, but I got it in control. You know, that would never happen to me. Man, listen, don't you play. Even the world says if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Okay? Don't play. It's nothing to play with. Sin is nothing to play with. And the Bible declares that sin is fun. It does. Come on, I'm going to preach the truth to you. Sin is fun. The Bible speaks of enjoying what? The pleasures of what? Sin for a season. Sin is fun. And you think you got it by the tail. Well, let me tell you something, man. The devil will laugh you down when he gets you hooked. He will laugh you down when he gets you in bondage. And I, you know what? I thank God that this old boy just leaned back, okay? Scared to death. Sammy, scared to death. Just leaned back. Saw the bomb, smelt the smoke, just leaned back. Scared to death. I'm glad I was scared. I'm glad I was scared. And by grace and mercy, and only grace and mercy, did I get through this life without being in bondage to alcohol. Only by the grace of God. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch your people today, God. Those that are struggling, those that are questioning, those that have doubt, those that struggle with temptation. I thank you, Lord, that your word says, here's a word for somebody. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But with every temptation, the Lord says in his word, he has given you the way of escape. Now, temptation will come, but he has given you a way out. You can say no. You can say no only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. So, Father, I thank you for that. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Somebody check me on that. Find that for me, Pastor Gary, if you would. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Don't want to go on my memory. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Somebody needs this. It's that important. Okay. Yeah, I was right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Okay? No temptation. No temptation has overtaken you. How many of y'all are tempted? How many of y'all are tempted sometime? Okay? No temptation. Say no. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Translation? Everybody's tempted. Everybody. So you say, well, you know, if I'm the only one. No. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Come on. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, somebody say, when I'm tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You say, man, well, my friends are there. My friends are there. Ask me, did you ever smoke because of your friends? I did. Did you ever drink because of your friends? I did. Because I had a better reputation when I did. They thought I was cooler. My truck, you know, you had to have a ladder to get into it. You know, big old step. Glass out back, reach in the cooler. Okay. I was cool though. But here he says, listen, if you're tempted that way, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it or endure it, this translation says. You don't have to go through that. God will give you the strength to say no. And then when you do stand up, all of those friends around you, some of them may laugh, but one of them's going to come to the side and say, hey, man, I give you kudos, bro, because I'm going through the same stuff, and I saw you stand up, and you just gave me courage. And then it lifts your strength. So the next time, it's not as difficult for you, yes?
Yes, I'm going to give y'all confirmation to what Pastor Wallace has said. There are demon spirits and powers in wicked places. And God had laid it on my spirit for the last 2 weeks. I have been praying against witches and warlocks that have been praying against these people. So when you was in New Bern, I was praying also that their power would be broken. So this is confirmation. This is real, people. The church is under attack. And it's not about me. God just gave this to me. And I've been struggling trying to fast as I pray against those witches and warlocks that are attacking people and trying to keep them from getting where God wants them to go. And I'm one of them. But I'm going to make it. But it's true what Pastor Wallace has been saying. I'm
praise
sorry.
The Lord. Praise God. A battle is real. One thing I love about the millennials. How many of you guys are in your 20s, early 30s? Come on, raise your hand. 20-year-olds and better. Hold your hand up. 20s and better. Look at this. These guys, all my 20s and 30s, come on down here. All my 20s and 30s. Come on. The rest of y'all slide over here. All my 20s and 30s, come on down here. All my millennial guys and gals. There you go. All my millennial guys, 20s and 30s. Look at this. All these millennials. Come on in here. Look at this. Look at this, Joy. 20s and 30s. Well, everybody goes at church is old. Nah, that's a lie. Everybody goes at church. I don't like them lights. You talk to this crowd right here. Ask them if they like lights. I don't see no reason for that smoke be going across the platform. You talk to these guys. 20s and 30s. You know what this crowd wants? They want to see the authentic power of the Holy Spirit. They don't want no fake. They don't want no facade. They want to see the real deal, okay? They want it to be real. And guess what God is doing? God is raising up a generation of young people, okay? You know, it's guys like me going to slide aside, okay? Listen, I'm going to slide aside. Pastor Noli, come here, man. Lead us in a prayer over these millennials. They want the real. Say what you will about millennials, man.
Come on, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the millennial generation. God, we thank you for every young person here, God, who you have a plan for, you have a destiny for, and we declare that this generation belongs to you. Father, we thank you that this is a generation that will move mountains. This is a generation that will stand out and be different from the crowd. This is a generation that will take the earth by storm. And Father, we thank you for covering us with your anointing. We thank you for letting us rise up on wings like eagles and soaring, Father, in the Spirit, that we might touch the world around us, God. We thank you for colleges being transformed. We thank you for high schools being transformed. Father, we thank you for workplaces being transformed, entire industries, Lord. We thank you for transformation. And Father, we just surrender ourselves to you. God, as on behalf of this generation, God, I say that we surrender ourselves to you. We say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Use us, Lord. Use us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.